Mishnah Beis, as promised, we did not speak out the Hakdama to Masechtas Peah in the beginning of Mishnah Aleph, and instead, Be'ezus Hashem, just a very brief introduction to Masechtas Peah. So number one, what exactly is Peah, and why are we learning a whole Masechta about it? So it's a pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk is in Parshas Kedoshim. It's in Perik Yotes, Pasuk Tes and Yod. It says in the Torah, Uvekutzrechem es k'tir aitzachem. A person's working in the field, specifically he's being koitzer. Koitzer is one of the lavatas malachas. Koitzer is when you start cutting off all the tefuah, all your crops that grew during the course of the year. It says the Torah, Loisechale pa'asotcha liktzer. Don't cut the entire field. Loisechale, do not finish pa'asotcha, the corner of your field, liktzer, to cut. Veleket kitzircha loisalaket. Additionally, don't be malaket the leket. We'll see what that is. Vekarmacha loisa oila. Don't take the oile of your kerem. Uperet karmacha loisalaket. Don't gather the peret of your kerem. What should you do with this? La'ani velager tazoiv oisam ani Hashem alekechem. You're supposed to leave all these things for the ani and for the ger. This is what you're supposed to do with it. So pay it first, because that's the name of the Masechta. So it says in the Torah that a person is cutting all the grain in his field. You can't cut off everything, but rather you have to leave over a little bit of tefuah in the corner of the field. Not just that. Now, means that if a person would go and he would violate the halacha of peah, he would cut all the tefuah in his field. He wouldn't leave the corner available for the aniyim. He'd be over a loisase. That's a loisase 101. Then it says, that's a mitzvah sase. You're supposed to leave it over for the ani and the ger. In other words, there's a loisase and ase. So there's certain mitzvahs that are loisases. There's certain mitzvahs that are ases. Every now and again, you come across a loisase ve'ase, and peya is in the category of mitzvahs that involve a loisase and they involve an ase, and there's ramifications in halacha. When something's a loisase ve'ase, ase is doicha loisase, but ase is not doicha loisase ve'ase. There's also ramifications lekula. If a person violates a loisase, ordinarily you would get malchus, but if a person does a loisase that has an ase, then it's a loisase shenite glase, and as a result you wouldn't get malchus. But just to make the point, and that is that peya is a loisase, peya is also an ase. Now peya is a mitzvah that's related to a field. It's clearly talking about a person that has a sada, a person that has a field, and it says, lois sechala pa'as sadcha liktzar. In other words, it's one of the mitzvahs hatluyos pa'aretz. And because it's one of the mitzvahs hatluyos pa'aretz, the halacha is, it's only negei in Eretz Yisrael. And that's based on a Mishnah in the first parak of Masachis Kedushin, where the Mishnah says that all mitzvahs that hatluyos pa'aretz, any mitzvah that the Torah says that has something to do with the ground, has something to do with the earth, the halacha is, it's only negei in Eretz Yisrael. So for example, ones that we're more familiar with, Truma and Meiser, Meiser Sheini, Shvius, these are mitzvahs hatluyos pa'aretz. And because they're mitzvahs hatluyos pa'aretz, they're only negei midai reis in Eretz Yisrael. Pei is the same way. Pei is a mitzvah hatluyos pa'aretz, and because it's a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz, it's for that reason peya is only noyig in Eretz Yisrael. Now our mesecht is called mesechtas peya. Clearly, the topic of the day is for the next many, many days is going to be peya. But the truth is, it's a little bit of a misnomer, because really mesechtas peya does not deal exclusively with the laws of peya. In fact, mesechtas peya deals with six different halachas. That's what the Masechta deals with. It's done in a very organized fashion. So we're going to go through first Peya, and then we're going to move over to topic 2, and then 3, and then 4, and then 5, and then finally topic 6. So what are the six things that Masechta's Peya talks about? Peya is 1, Leket is 2, Shikha is 3, Peret is 4, Oilulis is 5, and then finally Meiser Ani is 6. Now this is all Me'inyin Le'inyin, very much Ba'isa Inyin. Hatzad Ashova Shabahen is these are all mitzvahs that, number one, are a little fremd to most people. Number two, these are all mitzvahs that are Tluyois Ba'aretz. These are all mitzvahs that are Negei, a person that has a field. And really, here's the punchline. These are all things that he's supposed to give to Aniyin. So, in the course of a person working in Eretz Yisrael back in the day, so it was understood there were several layers of taxes that a person had to give. Truma, you had to give to the Kohen. Levi, you had to give Or Maaser Rishon, you had to give to the Levi. When the Levi got Maaser Rishon, he had to give Trumas Maaser to the Kohen. So there were different things that went to different people. Peya, Leket, Shikha, Peret, Oilolois, and even one type of Maaser called Maaser Ani, these are all things that had to be given to the Aniyim. So the truth is, the first four or five Prakim deal with the laws of Peya, so really that's the only of the six that we need to really become familiar with now, but I think it's just kedai to at least translate, at least teach what these other matnas aniyim are, as they're definitely going to come up in the course of learning the Mishnah. So peya we just discussed. That means you have tfuwits in the corner of your field. It's still attached. When you're koitzer, it's not something that you're supposed to cut. You're supposed to leave it for the onion and the ger. What's leket? Leket means that you're in the middle of being malakit. You're gathering all the things inside your field, and you have your sickle, or you're using your hands, and something slips through the cracks in your finger. So ordinarily, it's not a big deal. It's nothing to write home about. Just pick it up. Tayyar says, no, you're not allowed to. Once it falls, shiurim, a whole bunch of mishnayis, prakim, but the bottom line is that's what leket is. Shikha means that a person had a bunch of sheaves. He had bundles in the field and he brought everything in and he forgot a bundle or two or three. That's what the halach of shikha is. That once you leave something, you forget about it, you're miyayish from it on some level, you're not supposed to go back and take it again. Peret is leket specifically in a vineyard. So peret is to a kerem, what leket is to a field. Oilelois are unripened grapes. The word oilel, an oilel v'yoynek, that's a young child, that's a baby that's not fully matured and not fully developed yet. So oilelois are these unripened grapes. It's something that's also negeya, only in a vineyard. And finally, meiser ani is the additional meiser that a yid had to give every single year. However, depending on what year it was, it determined what the meiser was, depending on what year in the Shemitah cycle it was. So years 1, 2, 4, and 5, in addition to giving Truma and Maaser Rishon, you also had to give Maaser Sheni. Years 3 and 6, in addition to giving Truma and Maaser Rishon, you also had to give Maaser Ani. But here's the point. The point is, we're discussing mitzvahs atluyos pa'aretz. We're discussing the mitzvah of Peah, a pasuk in the Torah. It's a pasuk that involves a lois ase, it involves an ase. The lois ase is lois echale pa'asot chaliktzar. The ase is lo'oni v'lager tazavoysam. Just to end the introduction with one machshava, the Svarim HaKadoshim say that it says lo'oni v'lager. It's an interesting lashon, because if you look, for example, by the mitzvah of tzedakah, it says nosoin titein. You should take your charity that you want to give and you should give it to an ani. Over here, it doesn't say take your thing and give it to the ani. It says la ani v'lager tazavoysam, that you should just leave it there. It doesn't even say pick it up and give it. And there's nafkaminas in halacha, because if I own something and I'm allowed to just give it and decide who I'm going to give it to, it means I have some ownership in it. It's what's known as Tevis Hana. This is Machlokes and Shas. Tevis Hana is Mammon or it's not Mammon, but at least I have some sort of bailus. I have something in it. The mitzvah of Peya and Leket and Shikha and Peret and Oilus says, V'oni v'lager tazavosam, that Rebbe, even though this is your field and you worked it, but at the same time, it's not even yours. Truma, Meiser, you have Tevis Hana. You can decide who you're going to give it to. But when it comes to Leket, Shikha and Peya, these are things that you don't even have Tevis Sana in it. It's la'ani v'lager tazavoysam. I once heard from a goyin, Rav Shmuel Yankiv Bornstein, as a chetzadik v'kadosh l'vracha, had the schos to eat several sudas by him Shabbos when I was learning in Eretz Yisrael. And I remember he once said over at a suda, he said that the Gemara says in Masechtas Yevamos that when the ger came to be megayer, the inner Yehudi, he wants to convert to Judaism. So the bezdin would try scaring. They tried scaring him off a little bit, and they told him, the Gemara says, some of them it says chamuroi, some of them it says kalis, and then it says they would tell him about Leket, Shikha, and Peya. So he said, why did they tell him about Leket, Shikha, and Peya? Because there's financial costs. Talk to him about Staka. Talk to him about Meiser. Talk to him about Chaimish. Talk to him about Truma and about Meisers. Why did they tell him this? So he said, because they were trying to tell. Vostos meint a yid. A yid lives his life. It's not even mine. The Eibishter gave it to me. Even the little Tovus Hanam, if I get mechnish. Because that's the whole point. It's La'oni V'lager Tazavoysam. On that note, Perik Aleph, Mishnah Beis of Mesechtes Peah. Zok the Heilige Mishnah. So Mishnah Aleph said, Elu Dvarim She'ein Lehem Shir. And what was the first thing that has no shir? HaPeah. So there's no shir Peah. Not a shir lamata, and there's also not a shir lamayla. Says the Mishnah, that's only midairaisa. However, midrabbanon, there really is a shir. So ain't poichsin lepeya mishishin. That when a person does the mitzvah of peya, he should make sure that the peya is not going to be less than 1/60th of the entire crop. So whatever the shir of the crop is, you should make sure that the peya itself doesn't represent less than 1/60th. Fa'afa pisha omru ain't lepeya shir. And says the Mishnah, even though we just said in the previous Mishnah, if you halt in cheshbon, that there's really no shir to peya, that's midrabbanon. So that's biblically speaking. But rabbinically speaking, there is a shir, and the shir is not less than 1/60th. And then the Mishnah says, Hakolofi Goydel Asada, that the truth is, again, this is all midrabbanan, but we encourage a person to really be mafresh peya based on the size of his field. So let's say a person has this massive field. So 1/60th is a nice number, but 59/60ths is really a nice number. So give more. Why are you only giving 1/60th? Ulefi Reiv Aniyim. Or a person should take the Aniyim into account. How many Aniyim are there? How many people are in the neighborhood that need peya? So if a person understands that there are a lot of Aniyim, he should give more. And finally, Ulefi Reiv Ha'anava. A person should give peya based on his anava. Literally, anava means based on his humility. Meaning, you should know who you are. Meaning, Chazal said that midday raisa, there's no shir, but at the same time, when a person has a field, he should sit down with a pen and paper and he should make a cheshmen. He should go through all the macroeconomics of the neighborhood. He should try to do a little cheshmen on nefesh of who he is. And really, we would encourage a person to maybe go and actually give more. But one thing's for sure, that there is a minimum share. And what is the minimum share? The minimum share is, it has to be, at the very least, 1/60th. Mishnah Gimel. So Mishnah Gimel is continuing to discuss the laws of Peah. And it really picks up on a very, very basic halach. So what does the word peya mean? Peya means the end. Right? That's what peya means. Peya means the end. And it says in the Torah that you're cutting all the tfu in your field, that you should leave over the end. That's something that you're not supposed to take. So you would understand that the cheftza of peya, what is peya? It's the end of the field, or it's the corner of the field. That's what you would expect peya to be. Stating that, as we're going to see now in the Mishnah, it's not the case. In fact, it was a machlokes tanoim, what exactly peya is, but everybody would seem to be of the opinion that peya, even though the word peya means the edge, doesn't exclusively mean the edge. Says the Mishnah, noisnim peya, mitchilas hasada, umeebtzaha. So a person can give peya from the beginning of his field, from the middle of his field, or if he wants, he can do it from the edge of the field. But doesn't have to be from the edge of the field. Rav Shimon says, "Ubelvad sheyitein b'soyv kusher." Rav Shimon said, "This is all fine. I agree with you, Tanakama, that peya doesn't mean exclusively the edge of the field. But at the same time, you have to make sure, midrabbanan anyways, that you're going to leave over from the edge." And Rav Shimon says that how much do you have to leave? A share. What's the share? It's 1/60th. So you just have to make sure that you can leave 1/60th at the edge. Meaning, what's Rav Shimon saying? Shimon saying that if a person would be mafresh pay in the middle of the field, it would be peya. It has a din of peya, whatever that means. It would have a din of peya. But in addition to that, you also have to make sure that there's going to be a shear at the edge of the field. There's also going to be 1/60th at the edge of the field. Rabbi Yehuda says, im shear kelach echod. If a person leaves over one kelach, he leaves over one stalk, soymech loy mishum peya. He can use it as peya, v'im lav, but if not, einoy noisin ela mishum hefker, at that point, it's not going to be peya. Rabbi Huda also agrees that peya doesn't need to be exclusively the edge of the field. The middle of the field could also be peya. But Rabbi Huda holds that the only time the middle of the field can be peya is if there's also peya at the edge of the field. So if you left one kelach, a little bit of something at the edge of the field, so then what you have in the middle of the field can be considered peya. However, if you didn't leave anything at the edge of the field, then what you leave in the middle of the field cannot halachically be considered peya. So what are the three shittas? The first shita, Tanakama says, is peya can be anywhere. Peya doesn't mean peya. Usually it would be peya, but it doesn't have to be there. You want to do it in the middle of the field, you could do it in the middle of the field. Reb Shimon says, I agree with that. And really, anywhere your mafresh peya is going to be peya. So if a person would say, I want this stalk to be peya, it's fine. You're not yoytzi a mitzvah. But in order to be yoytzi a mitzvah, there's a shir, the rabbanon of 1/60th, and that has to be at the edge of the field. Rabbi Yehuda is the third shita. Rabbi Yehuda says that if a person would not leave over something at the edge of the field, even if you would be mafresh in the middle of the field, it would be nothing. Now, if you leave something at the edge of the field, and then you're mafresh in the middle of the field, it will be something. So where's Rabbi Yehuda differing from the first two shitas? Because the Tanakhama holds that peya has to be the Tanakhama holds peya could be anywhere. Even Reb Shimon says that anywhere that I'm mafresh peya, it's going to be considered peya. Reb Yehuda holds that if I'm mafresh something, but I wasn't mafresh the peya, I wasn't mafresh the end, it would not be considered peya at all.